Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carlson on Twitter, blessing in disguise if Jaden's hurt. Mariota was outstanding. They'll be better off with him. You can't be serious. You're not the only person, by the way, Carlson, to say that. Tell me you didn't watch the game without telling me you didn't watch the game. I mean, I like Marcus Mariota, and I love the way he runs the zone reads. He had in the game... What did we say, Max, in the break? 21 snaps in the game?
21 snaps, I think we broke down four series.
13 of them were horrible. Yeah. It's not his fault. He had the same limitations that Jaden had, and he came in and he wasn't a part of the game plan. I'm not blaming him, but you can't possibly have watched that game and been like, whew, okay, we got our guy now in Mariota. Like, did you see the pick six? Did you see the fourth down in which he missed McCaffrey by about 20 yards? Wide right and high? I mean, I like Mariota. And by the way, if he has to play on Monday night or the game after that, I feel great about him versus a lot of backups. He is perfect for this situation. And having a full week, we know he can play. Still, in this system in particular, and I do like the way he runs the zone reads. I talked about that. He's a dual threat quarterback. You know, he's a true and very good dual threat quarterback who looks really good right now, health-wise, you know, running the football. We saw it in the Raider game. We saw it even to a certain extent in the Atlanta game. But you can't be serious to think that he came in and played well. Like, I don't know what he'll grade out as. I'm actually now very interested. Not that, you know, whatchamacallit, Pro Football Focus is the end-all, be-all. But I said on my podcast last night, I go, this is not going to be one of those games he's going to want to look at the QBR number in the game. And it was, and I hadn't seen it yet. It was a 7.4. About as bad as you can be QBR-wise. But again, not blaming. It came in, and they're down by a bunch of points. They're getting their ass kicked. They got three receivers out there that are, you know, way down the depth chart. Well, you know, not starters. It's not like Jalen Lane and McCaffrey haven't played a lot this year. I don't know how you could watch that game and think that Mariota played well. He had a couple of good runs. He had a couple of good throws. 21 snaps. Most of them were not good. He took two sacks and should have almost got four, escaped a couple of them, in 12 dropbacks or called dropbacks. It's not a good sack percentage rate. But again, not his fault. I like Marcus Mariota. I do. I'm just not going to sit here and tell you after watching what I watched that, oh my God, thank God he's here because they got an answer. He's better than Jaden. You guys are insane. You can't possibly think that. Maybe they do. All right, let's bring on our team insider, Ben Standing. Last Man Standing is the podcast. Last Man Standing is the Substack, which I have subscribed to. Ben is such a good reporter and columnist covering this team. You can follow Ben on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. Let's start with kind of the two big picture questions. The defensive coordinator, or just the defense in general, and what Quinn said after the game. We'll get to that. I want to start with Jaden Daniels, the injury, the hamstring, MRI today. We'll probably hear at some point today how it went. What are you expecting?
Well, I mean, based on what we know, which is not a ton, but just a little bit of information that's come out, you know, the supposed him, you know, winking to his mother, or making a gesture to his mother, indicating he's okay. It doesn't seem like it's some catastrophic matter. Now, whether that means he's good enough to go for next week, you know, that's going to be tricky, right? It would be difficult for any player to be dealing with a hamstring injury, but one whose mobility is central to what he does, because he's not like a pure pocket passer in that regard, that seems like it could be more problematic. So if you tell me the end result is here, he misses the game in Kansas City, I won't be surprised. You know, at this point, hopefully it's not more than that. But, I think it's going to have to be something they take a long consideration into. I mean, you know, it didn't look great when it happened. And again, with his style, hamstring injury, you can't let this thing linger beyond whatever the most minimum amount of time is for recovery.
All right, the second biggest story coming out of the game yesterday was, once again, the defense was horrendous. And what Dan Quinn said in his post-game presser left an open-ended question that maybe gets answered later on today or at some point this week, but I want to know what you thought when you heard Dan Quinn when asked about the explosives that the team continues to give up on defense, saying, quote, he's going to look at everything, closed quote.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's something you say after a game. In other words, you know, it's not just on any one play or any one player. Everything is up for grabs. And obviously, the one topic that we haven't really had too much, gotten into a ton, at least with regards to Quinn, is would he make any changes of coaching responsibilities with Joe Witt as the play caller. Now, Quinn's response was, he was later asked about that specifically, about, you know, potentially changing who's calling plays. He said, well, he didn't say yes or no. He just said that he's always on the calls. He's always communicative within the calls. So it sounds like he was saying he's already taking some level of responsibility for what's going on. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to have to consider that. You know, again, we don't always know, you know, if Marshawn Lattimore is getting beat. Is he getting beat because he was put in a bad position, or is he getting beat because, you know, he failed to make a play that he was put in position to do? I'm not just pointing him. He was the guy that was getting beat a bit last night, and it's sort of an obvious one to target. So that's the thing that they have to make honest assessments about internally. But, yeah, I mean, it's on the table now, and I'm glad, you know, for the purposes of what the hell is going on here, I think it needed to be.
Yeah, you know, I kind of laid out the options Quinn has when he says, I'm going to look at everything. What's he looking at? Well, option one would be to do nothing. Option two would be to do something with the defensive coordinator, you know, take away his coordinating and even game day play calling responsibilities and take it on himself or give it to somebody else. Option three would be to just make personnel changes. Option four would be to do both, to do something with the defensive coordinator and also make personnel changes. And then option number five would be, and I think this is a long shot, but it could be to let Joe Witt Jr. go after seven games. Which of those options do you think he'll choose?
The Joe Witt part to me is sort of going to be the last resort. I just don't know that that Quinn's going to go there. This is, of course, a coach that he brought over with him from Dallas. Quinn is on that side of the ball. It is reasonable to think that he has more of a say what goes on there and kind of leaves Cliff Kingsbury to do his own thing on offense. So I imagine Quinn already feels like he's involved to a degree. Does him actually calling the plays versus you know, what's going on now? Is that what's going to flip this switch? You know, I don't know. I know it's more than just the play calls. It's what goes on over the course of the week. But, you know, the head coach can only do so much. So, you know, I don't know that that's the move. The problem is, okay, fine, let's go look at personnel. You know, we talked about the depth concerns about this team all year long. I honestly don't know in most cases what the personnel change would be. You know, First of all, on the defensive line, you know, they've already had a bunch of defensive end injuries. Now Dorrance Armstrong leaves this game. He missed practice all week with a hamstring injury. Now he left this game with a knee issue. And he didn't, you know, left in the first possession, didn't come back. We'll have to see where that is. He's their, you know, been their best pass rusher by far. But even beyond that, they have now run out of viable bodies to play on the edge. If he's out, you know, for any length of time, that's three defensive ends they've lost. You're now relying on, Jacob Martin, who's been a good player, but he's, you know, undersized to be a three-down defensive end. And Preston Smith, he just got here 10 minutes ago, and, you know, let's just say he's more of a reserve at this point of his career than a starter. So they don't even have guys to turn to. So there's that. And then, you know, same thing with, like, a linebacker. If anybody wants to say, hey, sit Bobby Wagner, okay, well, cool, but, like, to what end? Like, McGee ready to go in there? I don't know that he is. So that's the problem. I just don't think they have a lot of options, at least on the offensive line after week two. Going from Coleman and Allegretti to Wiley and Paul is sort of the equivalent of, like, rearranging the deck chairs, but they were all like, okay, well, maybe let's just try this, and it did work. I don't think there's the equivalent on defense where it's like sort of a, well, this could work. I don't see what they can do. Maybe there's something subtle. Maybe there's uncertain packages. But in general, I guess if you make me pick, I would say that the personnel. I just don't know exactly what I think that would be.
I'm kind of with you on that, and I kind of talked about that. You know, there aren't a lot of moves to be made there. But if you don't think that that's, you know, something that's viable because there aren't a lot of options. And, you know, you don't believe that the odds kind of favor some sort of, you know, meaningful coordinator and play calling responsibilities or even firing Joe Witt at this point in the season, then you're probably leaning towards Quinn doing nothing, right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the column that I had up today after the game was about how, you know, the one thing that's been preached over and over again since Quinn and Peters arrived is the culture, right? And, you know, we view culture typically from a, you know, build each other up and help each other, you know, when you're having a bad day and all these kinds of things. But it also can lead to, or it can be a factor in, improvement, you know, being, you know, holding each other more responsible. I don't know if not saying that they're not doing these things. I'm just saying if you're going to talk about this, if you're going to build up the oldest roster in the league, in large part to establish this culture, which is important because culture is not, you know, talent waivers, injuries happen. but culture is supposed to be a constant. You need to rely on what it is, your DNA, you know, whatever it is internally to help you improve. I mean, there's, you know, we can sit here and say make a move at the trade deadline. That's not gonna be the solve for this problem. So they're gonna, I think at the moment, honestly, the best thing they can hope for is, you know, get pissed off, get on each other, work harder. I know that all sounds sort of cliche, but like I said, I don't think there's really too much they can do in the personnel department, with all, especially with the injuries up front. So I think that's what they're going to have to lean on as much as anything, i.e., yeah, Quinn not doing anything. But this is, again, why you build up a culture, why you build up an internal sense, you know, and you've got to lean on that right now to fix it, I think.
All right. Before we get to the larger picture of where they are right now in this season, just your big takeaways from the loss yesterday in Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, you know, starting with the offense, obviously Jaden going down is, you know, front, you know, the big topic. They didn't lose this game because of that. They were already in rough shape. And when they were down 27, that touchdown right before halftime for the Cowboys was so killer. Not just because you don't want to give up points like that. You had some momentum after scoring on your own with 40 seconds to go, but because they just don't have the personnel to come back. Like they, you know, the receiver room was absolutely, you know, bad. I mean, it's not the player's fault. They don't have the ability. So with Dallas seeing what the Bears did last week, they crowded the line of scrimmage. They basically said, go ahead. We're going to take away the run game, take away Jaden's legs as best we can, and make you throw it to the outside. And, you know, again, if you want to tell me next man up, fine. It's beyond reasonable at this point. At the receiver room, they just don't have the pieces. So I think offensively, I think they did in the first half reasonably fine, all things considered. But when you talk about, you know, a team sport here, like you've got to have the defense has got to step up knowing that the offense is so shorthanded. So to give up that score – to me, it was just such a killer. And then Jaden getting hurt right at the start of the second half, it was just the, you know, all the cold water possible thrown onto any thought of a comeback. I think the defense, you know, it just continued to be the same things over and over again, allowing too many big plays. Again, when you take out Armstrong, the defensive line, I mean, there was one point out there, there was a play where it was like Daron Payne, and he was the only defensive lineman on the field, and it wasn't even like, third and 30. It was like, you know, relatively normal down and distance because they're just trying anything. So, I, you know, you feel for them in that regard. But again, too
what
many
play was that? I missed that play. A play where the only defensive lineman on the field was Payne. I missed that play.
I at least, you know, watching it as I was, I thought that's what I saw. I haven't looked through all the play chart. But yeah, I mean, that, to me, there was a play where it was him and it was, I mean, maybe Jacob Martin was there in the 55 number for me. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, the bigger guys, like, he was the only one I thought that was out there on the field at that time. And, look, I mean, you have to, you know, as you know, you're a basketball guy, too. Sometimes you got to throw up junk defenses when you're missing what, you know, rim protectors or whatever it might be. And that's what it felt like they were having to do. And you can't live on that in the NFL. So, you know, injuries are a huge problem. But the defense in particular, the issues we've been seeing over and over again all season and every game, especially the last month, you know, slow starts, giving up the big plays, you know, it's been problematic. I mean, the secondary's not missing really. I mean, I guess they're missing Harris, but, you know, general, they have their guys and, you know, they're still giving up too many plays. But you know, when you're not pressuring the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's back there. So, yeah, it's a lot of problems right now.
All right, they've got 10 games left in their 2025 season. They're 3-4, and of course, you know, the world is caving in on this team, according to, you know, everybody that follows it closely, or most people that follow it closely. What do you think?
Look, I think it's fair. You know, look, obviously, the next week they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And it wasn't that long ago that people were, you know, starting to throw dirt on the Chiefs, which was just so incredibly stupid because the Chiefs still have all the reasons as to why they've been, you know, the most successful team for the last, you know, decade, starting with the quarterback, but also just, you know, a lot of the core players, you know, strengths that they have, they just, you know, it just wasn't working out for them. Now they're getting guys back from injuries. It's looking better on offense in particular. I don't know what – we can't sit here and say realistically that Washington in their losses this year has looked formidable, but the other team just beat them. We can't – I mean, that's just not a realistic thing to say. They're giving up an average of 407 yards in the four losses and over 30 points a game. You know, even in some of the wins, if we discount the wins over the Giants and the Raiders because of the opponent's status at that point, you know, the win over the Chargers, their most impressive win of the year, still had, you know, the hallmarks of these issues, right? It still had the, you know, the slow start, the big plays. So this is kind of just who they are at this point. And that's different than saying, hey, we're not getting the wins, but, you know, we're right there. I don't think we can say that in all honesty. So that's why it's like, I mean, yes, you look at, you say it's only 3-4, you're like, oh, come on, that's not that bad. Half the league is 4-3 and 3-4. But it just doesn't feel like there's obvious solutions right now. And that's not even factoring in what the schedule is coming up. The next three games are going to be very, very tough. So starting with next week. So, yeah, it's hard right now to say this is why they're going to turn around. Don't, you know, it's all good. I don't know how you can say that right now based on what we've seen.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later in the week. We'll see what develops here over the next few hours, if anything. Appreciate it as always.
Of course, Kevin. Thanks.
Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, there are some numbers out there from yesterday's game that I want to share with you. One in particular that just tells the tale on the defense. We'll do that to finish up the show. We'll save all of the other NFL and some of the other sports stuff for tomorrow's show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.